It's happening to you too, isn't it? What the hell is going on?
That man. He was eating that woman. He was eating her.
I know. The NSA guy.
DHS.
What?
Department of Homeland Security.
He alluded to something bad, like we're running out of time. And now we're what? We're repeating it. It's happened to you twice, right? Are we dead? Maybe this is a dream. There, have you heard of this thing called morphic resonance? What are you doing? No, we have to talk about this. We have to figure it out.
I just wanted a snack.
How is that an acceptable answer? No sane person would respond to the situation with, I just wanted a snack.
Hey Zedheads, welcome to the podcast. I'm Jason.
And I'm Cassie.
Cassie, and this is the Walking Dead cast episode 476.
And this episode we are covering Tales of the Walking Dead season 1 episode 2, Blair/Gina.
Woo! And you've heard yet another new voice there. This is Cassie. Welcome to the podcast, Cassie. Where are you?
Thank you. I am in the UK in Essex.
That's so cool. And how long have you been a Walking Dead fan?
Since the beginning, season one. Yeah.
Did you watch episode one on Halloween night?
Yeah.
You were looking forward to it?
Yeah, all of it. I think we watched it each week and then we binge watched the entire first season again when it was released. So yeah, I'm a bit of a nerd with it. Also comic books as well. Like massive.
You read the comics? Oh, yeah. That's awesome. So had you already read the comics before the show started?
No. So I think I started reading the comics probably, when did the last one come out?
It's been a while now, quite a while, a year ago. Yeah.
I think I probably started reading the comics before Negan turned up because I knew Negan was turning up and I was like, okay, I've got to start it. And I was working in West London at the time, so I had like a 50-minute train journey, and I was like, perfect. I can redo one, maybe two graphic novels within the entire journey home and blah, blah, blah. I have like specific soundtracks that now remind me of the novels. And then the final one came out and I was like, heh. Oh.
Did you not like it?
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right. But I was sad. I think Kirkman is too. I think he's been maybe I shouldn't have done that. I mean, it was a bummer that it was over. That's one of my favorite comics.
I mean, the Negan backstory comic was really good. I remember getting that and being like, okay. And then we got the episode and I was like, okay, I'm happy. It's good.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah, here's Negan. Just to move things along, I think I forgot to mention last week that Lucy's on vacation because someone messaged me and was like, is Sadie the new co-host now? And I was like, yeah, Lucy and I had a falling out. And
argument.
But no. Lucy's on vacation for the first 3 weeks of this series. She'll be back for episode 4. But it's kind of fun to have some guest co-hosts. It kind of fits the feeling of the show where there's new characters every week and get a new co-host each week. Ta-da. So let's get into this week's, Cassie, by the way, is a longtime Zed head. We know each other from the Patreon group and we did a Zed head show on gaming because competitive gaming sometimes. That was really fun. So it's Tales of the Walking Dead season 1, episode 2, Blair/Gina. What did you think of this one? It was a crazy one. Did you hate it?
I liked it.
You did? Oh, good.
I did like it, yeah.
I'm glad you're not stuck talking about an episode that you hated.
Yeah, no. I feel like when people like review it, they're like, I hate it. But I feel like with this, it is, it's so standalone. Like, it's, you need to not think of it as anything. I mean, it is related to Walking Dead, but you need to think of it as completely away from it, because you're not going to appreciate it at all. Otherwise, you're just going to be a massive hater.
Yeah, I think, yeah, if you're like, this doesn't fit,
yeah, then
it's harder to like. Mm-hmm. So you have to sort of be like,
like, okay, last week's episode, I loved, like, Terry, yeah. I didn't know going into it, Terry Crews is in it. The whole way through, I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, Terry Crews is in it.
He was good.
Yeah, he was good. Yeah.
I don't even know him, but I liked it too. All right. I thought it was really fun, and but I hated it. No, I'm just kidding. it was different, and the performances were really good. That was probably mm-hmm. my favorite part. It was funny. It was really interesting to dig into and try to figure out what's going on. Yeah, it did bother me a little bit at first that it was that they added this extra wrinkle that feels supernatural and it doesn't fit in The Walking Dead, but but then I was like, no, let me appreciate this on its own. And then I started to think, actually, maybe there is nothing supernatural going on. There's still some things I kind of feel nitpicky about with it, but overall I thought it was really fun and refreshing and cool.
Yeah.
So what's your first point?
Okay. My first point is, my problem is that recently I've been watching the Final Destination franchise.
I've never seen that. So what is it?
Oh my goodness.
What's the premise?
So it's basically they have a premonition of an accident happening and all their friends or whoever they're with die within this accident. Like, say, for example, car accident, plane crash, whatever. So they have this premonition. They are then brought back to their reality in that timeline and they try to prevent this from happening. So they try to prevent it from happening, but eventually death catches up and they die in different ways, blah, 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 blah.
You can't prevent anyway, it.
Yeah. So okay, yeah. What had happened was the tanker blew up and they appeared back in the office. And I was like, oh, fuck. I was like, oh, no, it's Final Destination. Mm-hmm. But as it went on, Groundhog Day, okay, yeah, cool. But I did resonate it a lot more with, like, I don't know if you've ever seen Happy Death Day.
Yeah, I watched that,
which
recently
is more like a horror comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, that was the kind of vibe I was getting.
And if people don't know, it's basically Groundhog Day, except she keeps dying. Well, I mean, that's what happened in Groundhog Day too, but it's more horror.
She's like, yeah, dying, but she's trying to figure out
who
why
the killer
she's dying
is,
who it yeah, is yeah. And like, yeah, like trying to
there's
get out
killer,
of
yeah,
the time lapse, like it's mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think that's where I was with that. But I remember sure. the first scene just being like, oh my God, it's Final Destination. And even the preview, I was like, oh no, why did I choose this week? Like, why did I not choose the Alpha week?
Right.
But yeah, that's my first point. So yeah.
Cool. Yeah, I think some of the listeners in the comments, they mentioned those too. Happy Death Day.
Yeah.
And then there's the sequel, which was really interesting too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, my number one is, what the fuck is going on? So last week I was talking about how with other anthology style shows like Twilight Zone and Black Mirror, there could be a really cool, interesting, like, sci-fi or horror concept to keep it fresh, like a monster or a time travel thing or whatever. But that Tales of the Walking Dead can't really be like that, because it's just, you know, we know what the Walking Dead is like. But then they did this episode. It's like, oh, they said F you and yeah, just did it anyways. And then, yeah, like I said, my first thought was like, this doesn't follow the rules. And it was bugging me, like, that you can't do a time loop. Like, we know the one thing about The Walking Dead that's different is the zombies. And then everything else is how real people would react to that. And so with this Groundhog Day thing, it's different and it feels like a different show. And yes, I can definitely appreciate it as its own thing. And I actually don't even really care why the time loop thing is happening. It's more yeah, important to me that there's some artistic reason for it. Like, did it have something to say? And by the end of the episode, I felt like it really did. So I ended up liking it. Mm. But then on second watch, I thought, oh, I actually don't think it is a time loop episode. I think it's about this whole shared psychosis thing.
Yeah, you know? I'm on the same page, exactly the same page. Yeah.
Yeah, and so this first point is kind of long, but I wanted to really dig into this concept because you see on Gina's computer. Well, I love that she's written up a list of
folie à deux,
and she's written up her boss's personality disorder.
Yeah,
that's so funny. But yeah, so she has this page Wikipedia, I guess, about this syndrome. It's folie à deux, a psychotic disorder in which two closely associated individuals share a similar delusional system. Characterized by the transference of delusional ideas and abnormal behavior from one person to one or more individuals, and often thought of as happening where two people are cut off from the outside world to some degree. So it could be because they're in the office together all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Usually one person is the primary partner or the dominant partner, and the secondary partner is more submissive. That's the case here. Mm-hmm. And, more than half suffer from auditory hallucinations, while 30% suffer from just full-on hallucinations. And the theme of the delusions are often persecutory or mystical. And so because it's one person transferring their own disorder to another, that's, I think, why they showed her listing all her boss's personality disorders. Narcissism, sociopathy, three different kinds of bipolar disorder, yeah. And schizophrenia. So I think that's, I mean, maybe they just put that in as a possible explanation, but it at least has some kind of sense to it. And I mean, I think also it's probably the biggest department of suspension of disbelief
mm-hmm.
in Walking Dead history, because even if this, I mean, this is a real syndrome, doubt it's anything like this, you know.
So they, I don't know if you, there's a case, as a, like, I listened to a true crime podcast, and they covered the Erickson sisters, the Erickson twins case, and they're called Ursula and Sabina Erickson. If you get a chance, read up their like history, like it's crazy. They came from, I think it was Sweden to the UK, and it just so happened like BBC were like recording like this traffic cam documentary, and something had happened, and they like got out of the car, and there was like this massive like motorway like blockade, and it was if you get a chance, read it. It's incredible. But they now can't be together. They have to be separated. They can't be like in any distance to each other because of the reaction that it has. So if
what
you get
happens
chance,
though
it.
Do they just
so they just like bounce off of each other. Like I think something had happened where I can't remember it exactly, like she'd attacked, like one of the sisters had attacked someone, they'd gone crazy, and they was like, oh no, that's not what happens, blah blah blah, and then but the reaction that they both have had effect, there was like multiple reactions going on throughout like a couple of weeks to the point where one of the twins' husbands had to turn around and be like, okay, you need to come back, like you can't see your sister anymore. And they are actually separated now. So when I heard it, I was like, I've heard it before, and I couldn't remember where it was. And then I was like, I swear it's those twins. And then I looked it up and I was like, yeah, it's definitely, that's what it was. So
what's their names again, just so people can,
it's they're called the Erickson twins. It's okay. Ursula and Sabina Erickson.
Fascinating. I mean, I'm really fascinated by anything like that, psychoses and schizophrenia and stuff. I just want to mention one more. So the way I watching second watch with all of this in mind, I think when the zombie and the woman fall out of the car, husband and wife, I guess, and he starts eating her and she screams the first time, then the camera slowly pans in on one of them. And then the other, and there's a whoa, like effect, like something's happening. And then their faces start flickering back and forth. And then there's a split screen with both of them. I thought it was like going to be a body swap thing, like Freaky Friday or something. But I think this is the start of the shared delusion. And then everything after that is not real. And then at the end, they decide to try something new and work together. And you see them stealing the tanker again. And then the man and the woman fall out of the car and he's eating her. And then you see that same back and forth thing between the two of them. And so I think the idea is everything we saw in between the first time that happened and the second time was not real. It's all a shared psychosis, and then they've shared this delusion that they bonded. So even though it didn't really happen, so now they're on the same team. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think happened. But then the end kind of fucks with all of that. So I don't know for sure.
Yeah, I have a lot of comments about the ending.
Okay, cool.
That's for sure.
That's all I'll say for now. So yeah, that's, I think that at least would fit more in with the Walking Dead universe, you know? So I think that's probably why they put that in there, so that people who were pissed off about Groundhog Day could say, oh no,
it's they've moved on to the next one.
the
second Groundhog Day. Let's see what's in the pipeline for this one.
All right, what's your next point?
My next one was, do you know what it was? Is that I watched this with someone and he turned around and he was like, you know what? What if they are actually dead? I was like, why would you do that to me? And the second time I watched it and I was like, you know what? They could actually be dead. Mm-hmm. Some of the stuff that goes on, you're like, what on earth is, what's going on? Because, and I think, throughout the episode as well, I don't know if you noticed, like they'd come back and they'd die, they'd come back, and Blair's makeup deteriorated so much throughout the episode. If you look at the first cutscene, like she is before the first tank explosion, like her makeup is flawless, like eyeliner, mascara, everything's nice. Next one, she's doing my head in. So she's tapping away. And I was like, fine, no problem. She dies, she comes back. Okay, her eyeliner is a little bit more smudged under her eye. It's fine. Blah, blah, blah. Comes back, taps away, it's more smudged. And as it goes on, you see that it's like she's more of in like such a hectic state with everything that's going on. So it's like, okay, so they're not completely resetting, because if they were, why would her makeup then be... I'm probably overthinking it way too much.
Well,
here, but
Gina's hair's more messed up too.
Yeah,
they just look more
along.
Disheveled as they go along, for sure. And I love Parker Posey. She's got this high strung aspect to her that really got, like, she's kind of put together, but in a way that you feel like she could just go nuts at any point.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And that makeup being smudged kind of fits with that too.
Yeah, and I think because like he said about, oh, they might be dead. And I was sitting there thinking, you know what? They could be, because they are in that, maybe that joint psychosis as well, even more so, it kind of fits even more. So you're like, okay, now I don't even know where my head's at, because it's getting more and more wild. And the more you think into it, like the deeper it gets. And it's just like, oh, I just want to know, just tell me it's happy death day and I'll be good. Like, I will finish this episode. That's so, okay.
So if they're dead, then what are we seeing? Just like,
so I think it's like
limbo,
like maybe the transition between like being bit and completely becoming a zombie. So there's like that weird stage, isn't there? Because you get like, I mean, like early seasons on, it would take like days for people when they were bit to turn into a zombie. Now it takes them 10 minutes and you know what? I'm going to bite your neck off. Like that's how it is now. But I think that's where my head's at. It's more of like a transition stage of them becoming a zombie. But then obviously the ending kind of threw me off with that. But that when I was watching it, that's where my head was at with it.
I mean, I suspect, and, you know, we'll hear what the showrunner has to say a little bit more in the news later, that they don't have an absolute definitive answer of what was going on. They wanted to put different possibilities in there to have us exploring all these different possibilities. Yeah. And so death could definitely be one of them, especially since Blair brought it up. Are we dead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yes, absolutely. I think that's one possibility for sure. But then I feel like maybe they're in limbo or something, you know, because they kind of walk off. Or what happens at the very end? Do they die again? No, they, what happens?
No, they don't.
Very end?
They say that they're going to
go rescue the cousins.
Yeah, they're
going
to go off to the nieces. I think is what they say. Yeah.
Yeah, well, see, my next one is how the ending throws a wrench in my theory, because after I thought, okay, now the psychosis has ended and everything that happens after this is real, they are driving into the city, but then they're like, oh, you know what? We're still cowards because we stole this tanker. We did that every time. Mm-hmm. So then they're on this overpass and they see people in danger below, jammed up in their car. So they get out and start to run, and there's a horde of zombies, and they pour the gas down on them to create this literal firewall, I guess. And they did a really dumb thing by lighting it right at their feet. It's like, what? And then the tanker, well, then she has to throw her scarf down there, and then the tanker blows up and just throws them off to the side. And they're kind of just beat up, like, ouch. And so that part is like, well, what? They should be dead right there. What the hell? And then Gina starts like saying, this is the folie à deux. None of this is real. And she says, now we're sharing a delusion. And so that means, where are they? If they're sharing a delusion, then where are they actually? Are they still in their office and the zombie apocalypse hasn't even happened? Yeah. Maybe they're dead and sharing a delusion. Maybe that's the answer. It's all of the above. It's also a time loop, too.
that actually loops onto one of my points, the final exposure, because I rewatched the one of the the Resident Evil series recently, and
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Not the TV show, equally bad, but I think it was the last film, and it's when they're like pouring the oil tankers down and then like lighting them up. And I was watching it, I was thinking, okay, you're pouring the oil down, but like the fuel down, and you're lighting it. Why is it not lighting up like the source? Like, I don't understand it. So they're pouring the hose over the bridge, and it's not doing it. It's literally just lighting up the cars. Okay, cool. That's fine. No problem. And so I was sitting there thinking, why is it not traveling up the hose? Blah, blah, blah. And then as I was thinking it, it exploded. It and I was like, okay, but that could have happened a lot quicker. Right. Why did that? In my head, I'm like, you made me second guess myself there. But what I did like about it was, if you think like to most like action kind of films, there's an explosion. Say, for example, what is that new Kevin Hart film where he's like a printer person, The Man from Toronto. Okay, one of the, sorry guys, spoilers, but one of the final scenes, there's a explosion. He walks away. He's barely got like anything wrong with him. Okay, throughout this whole show, I've been focused on their hair is fucked at the end of it. You know, usually you're like a woman will come away from an explosion, they've got like burn, like, you know, like the charred marks, smudge, in their face. One of, like, Gina's got like a broken wrist, like half her hair's been singed off, like everything. And then you got Blair, who like really takes a lot of care of her appearance. Half her hair's gone. She's got a bob on half her head now. Like, it's and throughout all of it, that's what I actually appreciated, was the fact that they did take care of the fact that, you know, they have been blown up and they have actually got injuries, and they have, their hair's not perfect. They've not just got like charcoal on their face. Like, it is actually something there, kind of thing.
But to me, that was like in Looney Tunes when the coyote gets TNT in his face, you know?
Yeah.
And his face is all black.
But what made me laugh with it was that, like, my friend was like, oh, well, you know, they've exploded every time. Why have they not exploded this time? I was like, maybe it's because they're in front of the cab. Like, they're not behind the oil tanker. They're in front of the, like, the cab of the thing. And then I was like, no, that's not it. They've just broken it. I'm thinking way too much into it now. And I was like, I need to stop thinking.
I really think that this was to show us that this is not real. You know what I mean? Because they'd be dead, especially if it was a big enough, they were right next to the tanker and it was
right
a big enough explosion.
Hose, like,
to blow them, to shoot them
that
across
damn
the
hose.
And
that
then,
hose will get them.
Then Gina says, this isn't real, and Blair's resisting it because Gina's idea means that Blair has to have some kind of psychosis and she doesn't want to admit to that. But then I'm like, why didn't the writers just have it nice and neatly tied up where the shared psychosis didn't end in that last scene? Now this is real. Why did they have to make us question? Okay, we thought we knew what was going on, but now we don't know. I think it's because they just want to mess with our heads.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's my turn, right? Okay. So, one of the things I really loved about this episode was, it was at the beginning of the ZA, because mm-hmm. I just like that period when people aren't sure what's going on and society is, I mean, I feel like this is the last day of society here. Like, people are still trying to talk themselves into thinking that they can do their jobs, but if they came back tomorrow, no one would be there. And first thing we hear is breaking news. The president will be making an official statement regarding the rising assault and murder rate, as well as the rapidly growing gas shortage across America. And I don't know, man. I don't want to dwell on this too much, but to me, it feels like we're getting closer to that day right now. But I don't want to dwell on that because it's not a nice thing to think. But so the sign on the Circle of Trust insurance place says 2010 top sellers, which felt good that they know
went
that,
back there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's when it started, because that's when Walking Dead started. And Rick Grimes is in a coma during this episode. And I also think one of the reasons why this episode feels weird, even aside from the time loop thing, is that it also has all the trappings of society that we're not used to seeing in The Walking Dead, like phones mm-hmm. ringing and people in offices and dressing, you know, stylishly. And and then there's the creepiness of how things are starting to change, like when all the phones lit up in the insurance company. I love that. Or when Gina goes into the Quick Stop and the lights are off and the shelves are bare and there's like people creeping around in there.
You know what? It actually reminded me of, like, it's going to sound so bad, but it reminded me of like the start of the pandemic, like COVID pandemic, when toilet roll was like, you know, you had to make it yourself. Like, it, you were not finding it in any shop you wanted to find it in.
And you go to the store and some of the shelves are just bare.
Yeah.
And that was creepy. Yeah.
People, like, in the UK, we were out, like, toilet roll. Also, pasta. Like, who loves pasta that much that you have to clean a shelf off of
soup,
pasta?
Like, but only the shitty soups were left, like the split pea and stuff.
It was horrific. I mean, you used to have to, like, queue outside to get in. And, like, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, my, if zombies were involved in COVID pandemic, this is what it would be, because it was just so similar.
It totally
so similar.
Reminded me of that. And
yeah.
Yeah. And then the cars are all in line, even though the sign said no gas. So I guess they were just mm-hmm. waiting for this tanker, right? Which that's why it was there, to replenish the gas.
I don't know. Did you guys have that recently? Like, we, in the past few months, we had it where there was a really short fuel, shortage. Whatever, and we were like queuing for ages, and there was like videos on Facebook of people like fighting because they wanted to get in front of people to like get to the like the fuel before. It's like, okay, chill out. Everyone needs fuel. Yeah. You can walk. You're
Take
fine. And there was like a Facebook video of someone like taking their horse down the road, and I was like, that's what you need to do. You need a horse.
Well, I have an electric car, so I'm not keyed
in. Oh, perfect.
And have solar. Yeah, it feels so good to drive right by those gas stations. Mm-hmm. and then I thought it was also like the fact that it feels like our normal society to an extent, but then you see this zombie eating his wife, I think, that really emphasized the horror of it when it's paired with all this normal life and also this kind of quirky, fun tone of the episode. And Gina decides to grab her shotgun and hijack this tanker when she sees that. So I think that's the moment where she's like, oh, I guess I'm giving up on society. It's the end of the world. You know, mine doesn't matter what I do now.
Yeah. Just gives into it.
So I just love that beginning phase. Yeah. So creepy.
I think my next point was, it was like the comedic spin on it.
Mm-hmm.
And just like before the first tanker explosion, it was Blair was going off on her little tangent of the office, like politics and whatever it is she was going on. I zoned out at this point when she was going on, because it reminded me too much of one of my old bosses.
Absolutely.
And she like pointed at Gina, like, she obviously she'd had something against Gina for however long, 2 years or whatever it was. Then she turns around and she goes, oh my god, look at Gina's face, she's gonna bite me. And I was like, oh my goodness, yeah, do you know what, she is gonna bite you, give it a few minutes. Few more scenes, she is gonna bite you. But you're right, so there was a lot of, I quite like the comedy in this, but again, that like kind of correlates with the Happy Death Day theme. Like, it was that, I think that's where it was, like, it's for me, that's
kind of snappy and
yeah
quick. Yeah, the two characters paired together well because Blair's high strung, like I said, mm-hmm. and Gina's sort of spacey and passive aggressive. I thought a lot of it was funny. I don't know why, but I thought it was funny when Blair turned Gina in and you just handcuffed.
It's just like, this is not gonna work.
And she's all so satisfied. Anyway. Yeah. And then when Blair is trying to, like, have you heard of this thing called morphic resonance? And Gina just starts walking away and she's all, what are you doing? No, we have to talk about this. We have to figure it out. And she's all, I just wanted a snack. How is that an acceptable answer? No sane person will respond to this situation with, I just wanted a snack. I like that. I mean,
that's actually one of my notes. I was like, that would be me. I'm like, you know what? I want a snack. This vending machine has been broken for so long. Just give me food. That's yeah, all I want.
Come
in this
on.
Work
we'll
day.
Figure
give
it
me
out
food.
After the chips. yeah. And I think it's funny how Parker Posey can look simultaneously like terrified, but also still like a little superior and annoyed at the same time. She's got so much going on underneath. The only other funny one I wrote down is when Blair said, I'm sorry for being such a dick these past 2 years. Really, I was just insanely angry. And you obviously hated me from day one. And I just put it all on you. And Gina says, well, thank you. I mean, to be clear, I didn't hate you. Yes, you did. It's okay. I did. I hated you. That was pretty good. So, all right. Any other funny moments you remember?
It was more, it's not going to be funny at all, but the child, Wendell, like they've literally gone out of their way to protect this child and he still ends up getting eaten, bless him.
It's dark.
But you know, was there another, yeah, that is, sorry, that's my dark humour.
That's okay, I love
must
it.
Must be me being British, I guess. Was there another character in, no, yeah, it's Fear the Walking Dead. There's a Wendell, isn't there?
Behind
the wheelchair. Okay.
Brother guy. Yeah.
I heard the name and I was like, oh, sounds familiar.
Right.
But
they
that's
do
why.
Reuse names occasionally. It's pretty rare.
Yeah.
Sometimes. All right. Let me see. So these two characters, Parker Posey, as I said, I thought she was really good. Fun to watch. I just love her line delivery and her expressions. Mm-hmm. And, like when she says, what do we really know about Gina? Maybe she's hiding a shotgun under her desk and then she like throws her head
under
the
desk.
And then stay back. She's going to snap. And she's laughing at her own joke. But then her face resolves into actually being kind of disturbed. and I've liked her in the things I remember are Best in Show. And she was on this show called Louie.
Mm-hmm.
I must have seen her in more things, but I can't really remember.
Do you know who, when I first started watching it, I'm just trying to
Best
find the
in
person
shows,
now.
My favorite.
So, have you seen the Netflix show Uncoupled?
No, I have. Maybe I saw a few clips of it. Is she in that?
No. Oh. So there's an actress called Marcia Gay Harden who plays Claire in it.
Oh, I know her, yeah.
And I was watching this episode and I was like, she looks so familiar. Obviously, it's not her, but I was like, I think because of like her presence and how that actress is in Uncoupled, it was very similar.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I was like, is it her? And I was like, double guessing myself. And then I obviously went on IMDb, is basically like my TV Bible. And I was like, no, it's not her. It's fine. Pass by it. But like, they're very similar, like in looks as well, I think. Like, obviously, she looks a lot younger, but.
Yeah, I know that actress.
And I was watching it, like like you said, the delivery of it. I was like, oh my God, like you could think it was her.
You got to watch Best in Show if you haven't seen that. It's all about these people who show their dogs at this competition. And Parker Posey is this super uptight, same character pretty much. And her dog is super nervous because I think your dog pick up. I mean, they had a shared psychosis, probably her and her dog, just like these two characters. And then, and I think Blair is the perfect name for her character and how she's, I mean, you and I think one of the listeners and me too, it totally reminded me of a boss I had who was very full of herself and kind of a big personality.
Quite happy to leave the door open for zombies to get them. Like, it's okay. Yeah. You can look away
happy. To be honest, like, I learned a lot from her too. And, but I also, when I realized that how my day was going to be was all dependent on what mood she was going to come to the office in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Mm-hmm. And she'd go through assistants like crazy. And one of her assistants wrote her a note and left it on her desk and then didn't show up for work. It was a resignation note. And it said, you know, none of the other people here like you and they just talk shit about you when you're gone. And I'm like, thanks for throwing me under the bus. Kind of like
interviewing you one by one. What did you say?
I mean, she just seemed depressed. I felt bad for her, actually.
It did make me laugh, though, about... Oh my God, what was the girl's name? The one that kept commenting about her hair.
Jasmine, I think, right?
Jasmine. Yeah, because at the end, that's one of my notes at the end is, Jasmine. Because Gina turned around and was like, hey, let's take a selfie for Jasmine because her hair was fucked.
Yeah.
It's like, just so we can show her your hair. So yeah, that did make me laugh.
And then the other one, Gina... is passive aggressive and fearful and spaced out, but justifiably not happy with her situation. And we find out later she's really noble, trying to go after her family. But I've only seen her that I can remember in this indie movie called Sword of Trust that also starred Mark Maron.
Good. I've seen her. I've actually got this as a note as well. Mm. I've seen her in, it's called Godmothered.
Okay.
Which is, she's basically a fairy godmother that is like a reject fairy godmother. But let me tell you, she is the complete opposite of this person. Because I was watching it, I was like, where do I recognize her from? And I was like, that's where, like, complete, when I say complete opposite, I mean like nice as pie, would do anything for anyone. Whereas like Gina was literally like, if you gave me a cupcake, I would probably shove it in your face, like, don't talk to me. So that's where I know that, that's where I know her from. But
was it good?
I think it's quite a recent film. It's a 2020 film. I liked it.
Yeah.
If you got kids, they'd like it.
Okay. She's funny. I mean, I maybe want to watch more because I enjoyed her performance. I think she'd probably really be really funny in other things too, probably. Okay, what's your next one? I think this might be the last
Yeah, because I think my fifth one was The Explosion. So, yeah. My next one is Blair's partner not trying to save her multiple times, not moving multiple steps from the car and letting her die. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? I've probably got quite a few exes that would do that and that I would probably do too as well. So my point here is...
get back in the car. That's like the furthest
Point here is, you know what? We're probably all guilty of it in a zombie apocalypse at some point. It's just really unfortunate that she had to live it multiple times.
I mean, just yesterday, I don't know if this totally relates, but me and Jenny and my two kids were headed over the Golden Gate, I mean, the Bay Bridge, coming back into the city. And I saw this guy on a motorcycle, and it's kind of bumper to bumper traffic. This guy on a motorcycle heading the wrong way in traffic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then a few seconds later, two guys on an ATV, like a little four-wheeler, also headed the wrong way, right? And they're coming at us, and I'm like, piss, what the fuck are you doing? And then I noticed, and I'm like, motioning to move out of the way. And then I was feeling like driving into their path, you know, because I was so mad. But then I saw that they had like black bandanas or masks pulled up over their face. And that freaked me out. I'm like, what if they have guns or something? So I, instead of pulling into their way, I just stayed where I was. I should have moved out of the way because they scraped right up against my car. Like that. Yeah. It's not too bad. There's just like scuff marks now that I mostly got cleaned off.
It's enough.
That was messed up. And I have a tendency to act impulsively. I didn't in that moment, but I did think about driving right into there. So I think maybe if I was in the car and that was happening, I'd get out. I'd probably get out and try to do something and end up dead.
We've had it like where I used to live. It was quite not like gang heavy, but there was like people that used to go around like on their mopeds and stuff like that, and they would like attack people in their cars.
Wow.
And I remember being like, oh my god, like I can't be bothered with this. And it was such a long work day, and they were coming along, and I remember just opening my door as they were coming along, and I was like, I don't care, you're gonna go into my door, I actually don't care. But wow, the fact that you're like, you're annoying everyone, yeah, that's fine, you do you, but nope, this is not happening. I'm good. So yeah, that disrupted their journey, and then I closed my door and carried on my journey. But yeah, I don't like those kind of people.
But these days, with all the shootings and stuff,
yeah, I mean, it's probably more. And I guess in the UK, it's probably a bit more like knife that's crime, right, than anything else. But yeah, I was just not in the mood that day. I was like, no, I am not taking this. You are not terrorizing me in traffic.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Mm-hmm. So my last one is what I thought was the point of this episode. Part of it was kind of similar to the first episode, which is two people who don't get along, or on the surface you wouldn't think would get along, would spend some time together and get to know each other and then connect, mm-hmm, you know? Which I like that theme. But I think more this episode is how they actually grew as characters, how they made each other better. And that and Gina thanks her, you know, what did she say? You're a relentless bitch, and as a judgmental coward, I respect that. You kind of forced me to be a little less doormatty, and I keep dying a little less pissed off at myself. So thanks.
Oh yeah.
So that was cool. And yeah, I mean, she was kind of passive aggressive, and she told that story of how she got a marketing degree but could never get in and end up just kind of giving up and accepting her lot in life and being a coward. That's the way she called herself. So by the end of it, she's fearless, and she's telling Blair, shut up, I can't hear your selfish voice over and over again. You think they actually like you? You know, all this. And, so she's clearly improved as a person because of everything that's been happening, and Blair's part of that. Blair, I think there's something a little more subtle with her, which is that she acts like she's this narcissist, but narcissists need other people. And she won't, I mean, she's the reason why they keep dying, because she keeps butting in, and she won't let Blair just go, you know? And that's what she won't let Gina just go. And that's what Gina says by the end of it. Look, can you just let me go on the tanker? I need to get my nieces or whatever. Please stay in your car and let me go. And then she does. And she seems kind of depressed about it. She's sitting there in the office at Gina's desk. And then that's when she also, though, tells the people in the office, you know what, this is actually bad, you should just go home. So she's suddenly got compassion for the people in her office. So she's improved in that way. And the thing with the boyfriend, too, that's she let Gina go. She let the office workers go. And then with the boyfriend, she says, my father died and I was scared of being alone. And that's why I had this guy who's really not a match for me with me. And so she's courageous enough to also let him go. So I think that's how she's improved. She's like not glomming on to other people to make her feel better about herself and just letting them go. But then she killed herself. And I was sort of, I mean, by letting that zombie bite her. And I didn't understand that at first, but then at the end, when she says, do you think we're dead? I kind of was hoping we were, cause I wanted to see my dad. So I think that's why she did that. Just like wanting to go to heaven and see her father.
Yeah. Because she does say that, doesn't she? She's like, I just wanted to see my dad.
Which was kind of a touching moment.
Mm-hmm.
But she's more compassionate and more, and less, you know, of a pain in the ass.
Yeah. A little bit more just bearable. Lets
people be. So I like that part of it. That really, like, made me like the episode a lot more, that they, being in each other's lives, helped them become better people, even though we don't even know if they're actually alive.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of get it, because you spend like a lot of time with the people you work with. Like, I spend a lot more time with the people I work with than I do like my family, and if you don't get on with them, it's torture. If you do, it's perfect. But you're never always going to get that like perfect balance, are you?
No, but another thing too about the people you work with in general is often you don't really get to know them. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you'll find yourself in some unusual situation where you actually start talking and realize that they're not who you thought they were. Yeah.
So. Remember that when I started my job I'm in currently, a girl started the same day as me, and I think she had like an ear stretcher, which I had when I was a teenager. Mm. And I was like, oh my god, that's pretty cool. And she's like, yeah, blah, blah. Anyway, we found out that we had like Foo Fighters as our main band in common, and all that. We've got dark humor, like same TV shows. And I was like, oh my god, like, I feel like you're my person.
Did it work out? Like,
yeah, we're still friends? Like, we're good. Literally like my best work friend, like, nice. 5 years on. So yeah,
I don't have that anymore. For the last 10 years I've only been at home and no office, but I feel like most of my socialization is like right now what you and I are doing.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's healthy, but that's what
that's
it is.
Not a bad thing. I mean, like, you know that I online game anyway, so like, yeah. A lot of people that I talk to are online, if not my family. So I'm used to this. Like, it doesn't.
Yeah, you're so natural at it. All right, let's get into our random notes.
Okay, my random note is Blair's fashion. My goodness, why was she wearing? And I wrote this down multiple times. I feel like I could have put a lighter to her jumper / grass jumper. And yeah, she'd have died quicker than she would have near the tanker.
I love how she didn't want to let go of that.
Yeah, no, the thing. Scarf, there was like the necktie and then the grass, like weird jump, like the weird jumper thing. And then she got into a coat when she was in the car as well. Like, I don't know how cold it gets where they were in Atlanta, Georgia, right? Yes, so yeah. I don't know how cold it gets there. But from what I know from filming, it's quite hot the majority of the time. So she has a coat and then she has an additional scarf, which is the one that she lights further on. And I'm watching it the entire time. I'm like, oh my God, I don't even wear that much in the UK. Like, that is a lot of layers. That is a lot of layers.
she's thin. She needs, I don't know. But she definitely, I feel like this is, like, I think the writers liked Parker Posey movies because it feels like an amalgam of characters of hers, and they do have very particular style and attitudes, all her characters. So yeah, I thought it's
kind of like a tribute to her previous characters.
I think so, yeah. Let's see, I read that this was going to be the series premiere of the show.
Oh really?
But they rearranged it, and my guess would be they didn't want to give the impression that the whole series would be this off the wall, so they didn't make this the first episode.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think if this had been the first episode, I would have continued because I like The Walking Dead anyway, but I would have gone into it a lot less enthusiastic than what I have been.
I would have expected more craziness like this, so I think it was a good... And next week, I hope it's okay that we're saying this. People won't consider it too much of a spoiler, but next week is Alpha. So that will be a whole different kind of thing, I would assume. Mm-hmm. You know, a character we already know.
Do you know what bothers me about that preview is that we've seen some of her backstory already.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of it looks like at the moment it doesn't match up, which I think is what's going to bother me.
It better match up. I bet you it will. We'll see. Don't talk too much about the details because I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll message after. I don't know what my form was.
If you don't have any more that you really want to get to, that's okay. But if you do.
It was just the one thing, because she was saying about if it's the reality and whatever, because she was in the car with her fiance and she was researching the brain changes within this disease.
Yeah,
you see her
researching
it on her phone. So that was quite interesting.
I think that, I don't know if it was the same, but the image of the brain with the red whatever reminded me of way back in season one with Dr. Jenner at the CDC.
Yeah.
One thing I'm a little confused about is when, you know, at the beginning of the episode, you find out there's all this chaos going on and Blair seems excited about it because it's going to be good for business. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, But you're an insurance company. You don't want people getting hurt because then you're going to have to pay out a bunch. So yeah. Then she said, well, we can use this to incentivize nervous patrons to upgrade their policies. And I guess that's what she meant. But that felt like an afterthought. So I would think if you're in an insurance company and this stuff's going on, you're going to freak out. You know, it's like if a big fire mm-hmm. happens and you've sold fire insurance, you're not going to like that. So I thought that was a little bit of a hole, unless I'm missing something.
No, but I think it's kind of when something happens, everyone does kind of panic, don't they? So I think I do feel like it's quite nice because you don't necessarily within the Walking Dead universe, you haven't really seen the pre-collapse of everything.
Yeah.
So this is literally like the office manic. Like I actually really enjoyed it. Me too. That being that hectic.
Absolutely. I'd like to see more of that. I mean, we kind of got some of it at the beginning of Fear the Walking Dead until they skipped mm-hmm. over the rest of it.
And my other note was that I just love that it wasn't comic related at all.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering if any of these characters could show up again, but since we don't totally understand the nature of what was going mm-hmm. on, we don't know. They could be dead. But yeah, I like that too. I got a couple more notes. One of the office guys, Joel, is Kevin L. Johnson, who played Sam on Ozark. I don't know if you saw that show, but
yeah,
he's a fun character on there. I thought it was weird that Gina didn't seem to remember the loop the first time through. It was just Blair. She's like, please mm-hmm. stay at your desk this time and forward my calls. And she goes, this time? Like she didn't understand what she was talking about.
Yeah.
That didn't really make sense.
I feel like that kind of ties into the whole, I'll keep forgetting how to say it,
Foliad. And I was a little distracted by not having explanations for what Gina was doing until the end. Like, I didn't know why it was so important for her to drive that tanker. And mm-hmm. it turns out she wanted to go see her brother and nieces. And also the thing she said about, you know, gas is better than cash if it's the end of the world totally made sense, especially with this gas shortage.
Definitely.
But I wish, I don't know, maybe they could have give us a little bit of that. Cause it was like, what is she crazy? And then why does she have a shotgun in her car? And then she explains that later that mm-hmm. it's her brother's. So that was a little bit distracting.
I do love that they done the whole tanker thing, because I feel like if you read any, like, disregarding Walking Dead, if you read any dystopian or watch any dystopian show, like, a lot of it is just going to be like fuel, sure. like supplies and everything. And the fact that they actually done it as that rather than, you know, we're going to rob a bank or something stupid like that. Like,
made sense.
I did. Yeah, it did make a lot of sense.
Yeah, Mad Max is all about that. All about the gas. Mm-hmm. And then my last note is just, I really liked it when Blair, like when she stayed back and let herself get bit and then they, you know, appeared for another loop and she told mm-hmm. Gina, I stayed here and got eaten. It was the worst way to go. Even though it doesn't really count, it's just like the first post-zombie death confirmation that it's really bad. It's a bad way to go. So that was kind of fun.
Because I don't think we've ever really, okay, you hear him screaming.
Yeah, it doesn't seem bad. Good, but I guess we kind of assume that, right?
Yeah. When they're in well health, like it's,
Anything else?
No, I think that's
okay. I think that's good. Take a little break. There's more to come. Stay with us. It's repetition. I'm coming back to you. Repetition. The only thing I can do.
Obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens.
The people it kills get up and kill.
Are they slow moving, Chief?
Yeah, they're dead. They're all messed up.
This is a Walking Dead cast news update.
Just one thing today. It's an interview from Entertainment Weekly with showrunner Channing Powell that kind of sheds light on a lot of this. They say, where did this idea come from to do essentially a comedic episode of The Walking Dead? He says, I was particularly craving to do a huge tonal shift just because I do tend to like comedy. I tend to like dark comedy a lot. And I just was always curious what that would look like in this world. And Scott Gimple embraced my wanting to try new things. I did know there were going to be other spinoffs. So if people want something that's a little bit more traditional in the Walking Dead space, they have a series that they can watch. This one was really the opportunity to go outside that and explore and push the boundaries as far as possible. I was always, for some reason, very curious how Parker Posey would behave in a Walker apocalypse. I've been a huge fan of hers for years, and I really love a very quirky, specific character like that having to deal with a very real life issues. So really all the episodes boil down to each of these characters having to figure out who they are at the end of the world. You can present a certain person in your everyday life. You can hope to be somebody, but when you're faced with life and death circumstances, who you truly are really comes out in that moment. And sometimes it's a surprise to even that person themselves. And I was always really interested in that. I mean, yeah, that's right. Like, you and I can both say how we think we'd act, but we never really know until it happens, which we may find out soon. And then I wanted to take that and balance it with something as mundane as everyday living and being stuck at your job just popped into our heads and trying to get along with your coworkers in that way. And we just thought, how would it be if you face the end of the world with a coworker that you don't get along with? What would come out about you? What would come out about them? Would they get to know each other in a way that they never got to know each other in the office? And it just opened up a lot of ideas for us. And they asked, and it's not only spending your day with a coworker, but it's spending that day over and over and over again. So where did that time loop concept come from? That this isn't something that you can just lightly slap into a Walking Dead episode. He says, no, it was a big discussion. It's pretty much still a big discussion about whether or not we should have it in there. Originally, we actually wanted to do a real-time episode where the clock starts at zero and everything in those next 42 minutes happen in those 42 minutes and it's all real time. And somehow, I don't even remember how that evolved. People like the adrenaline attention and the adrenaline of that feel so much that they wanted it over and over again. So we ended up doing a time loop. But I will say, even though we do a time loop, we tried to leave it up to the audience. You can decide whether or not it is actually a time loop or if there is a justification. There is a justification for it in the episode, and the audience can take away whatever they want from that. So, yeah. You can decide whatever you want. Mm. They say, I mean, there's already a supernatural element, obviously, in The Walking Dead with the zombies. However, adding this magical element is jarring, but in a really sort of fun way. He says, there's another episode that deals with a different type of supernatural element, I guess, coming up. And I was always really curious because the world is inherently supernatural. What else could be happening in this world? And Scott was open to exploring it as long as we really grounded it in the reality of the characters and the reality of the world. Is it in their heads or is it actually happening? We never really give you a definite answer. So the audience can take away. I'm repeating myself. They say they finally make it alive past 5 p.m. So what happens next? He says the next goal is to go after Gina's nieces and see if they can make it out of Atlanta alive. So Blair is married to Gina in some sense. They're like work spouses at this point. They know they're stuck together and they never wanted to be, but they've somehow made it work. The next goal is to save Gina's family. And last, they say, how do you think they'll do out there in the zombie apocalypse? He says, I would like to think they do really well. They survived an explosion with amazing hairdos at the end. So I think they can get, if they can get through that, they can get through anything. Cute.
Yeah.
All right. That's it for the news. Let's move on to listener moans, groans, and grunts.
Teach Mattel says, it never occurred to me to mix Groundhog's Day with Death Becomes Her by adding zombies.
Steve Barr says, aka Groundhog Day of the Dead. Interesting enough concept, but I felt like it needed two stronger actresses to really make the material come alive. I totally disagree with that, Steve, but you're entitled to your
opinion. Mark Kirkman says, definitely felt like Groundhog Day or Happy Death Day. Thank you, Mark. I'm curious what was the real story. I'm assuming the one he had at the end. I found it very entertaining and fun to watch with all the twists. Gina was right about the adopting of another's person's personality when working with them for long periods of time. I like the foreshadowing it had about Blair's look of the darkened mind when talking to her boyfriend.
I'm trying to think if I've ever taken on people's personalities. I don't know. I think
I have. I think laughs. I definitely adopt like people's laughs if I'm around them for a long time. And then I look at myself and I'm like, where on earth did that come from?
That's funny. Danielle Dement Yost says, it was quite different but entertaining. Are these stories meant to be canon or more of a what-if situation? Because the time loop thing is definitely a departure for the show. All in all, it easily kept my attention and the performances were great, but it's a little hard to fit into the Walking Dead universe. I know. I mean, I would like to think that they're in some way canon. Otherwise, what's the point? But I don't know.
Yeah, I think you'd enjoy them more if you don't kind of include them in the Walking Dead universe.
Yeah, just don't worry about it.
Matthew Rimmer says, a format shattering towel. Was it the shared psychosis they tried to sell in the dialogue at the end, or should we call a spade and say this is the Walking Dead doing a time loop episode? I love time loop stories, so I think it worked for me, even if I don't know how to rationalize it as part of the wider Walking Dead universe. Two great central performances from Parker Posey and Gillian Bell.
I love time loop shows too. Groundhog Day is one of my favorite movies.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one recently called, what was it called? Like, it was the name of a place and it had Andy Samberg in it. That was really good. I forgot the name of it. Jody Langridge says, I love both of the main actors and enjoyed it as a standalone. However, one of the most important things to me about the original Walking Dead is that every other aspect of the show is based in reality. Walkers are the only difference. Having an episode that has some sort of alternate realities takes a different turn. This is purely my own opinion based on what I enjoy. I was entertained, though, and liked the fact that it demonstrated even people that can't stand each other can always find some common ground given enough time and making some effort. And also, if you're like, about to die and you need to,
even if you do die like 20 yeah, times right. to
whatever
get there.
It takes, it would take me dying 40 times to like you.
Teresa Harper says, I hated it. I don't want to hate it as I love all things Walking Dead, but I hated this episode. Why would you make a Walking Dead Groundhog Day? Did I mention I hated it? Because I'm going to stick with it because next week looks like it resembles the Walking Dead. Alpha baby. Yes. Tells, please redeem yourself. Thank you. I love that.
Yeah. I gave you that one on purpose just because I wanted to hear you read it. I hated it.
I hated it. Yeah.
Yeah. I like strong opinions like that. Even if I don't agree. Mark Nichols says, I actually love this episode, but I love Parker Posey. This was best in show meets Groundhog Day. I loved watching Parker just be herself in this crazy universe. The best was each time they came back, they ignored the other employees in the office even more. I like that too. They just start talking yeah, about it and they're like, everybody's looking like, what the hell are you talking about? Like, did you see his eyes? They were all gray. He goes on, sad thinking all the people in this that are about to be bombed as they are in downtown Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that, yeah.
Looking forward to hearing your thoughts.
So where was Rick when he, where was he in hospital? Was that Kentucky?
No, that was Atlanta, wasn't it?
Because they traveled to Atlanta, didn't they?
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, maybe it was Kentucky. I can't remember.
I'll look that up after.
So long. Yeah, we may go back and do a full rewatch once the whole thing's over at some point, because it's been a while since I've seen those.
Mm-hmm. Sadie Wright says, I'm sure it was love it or hate it episode. I'm firmly in camp loved it. Each of the tail episodes is its own unique thing, so it's fun to see genre tone played with. After the first explosion, I thought Gina was fantasizing how Blair would die. But when I realized it was Groundhog Day concept, I was like, okay, this is interesting. I love Gina questioning how many neck accessories Blair was wearing and the idea her personality disorder rubbing off on Gina. I just thought it was fun, entertaining, and a little self-indulgent, but that was totally cool with me. Of course, after they went through all of the military is about to bomb downtown Atlanta to smithereens, so they're about to die anyway. I'm curious to hear what everyone else thought, and I hope Steve calls in with a live Steve of the episode.
Yeah, we do have a Steve here. Can't wait. I didn't listen to it, so that'll be fun. Last message, Fred Weisinger says, as a fan of time loop sci-fi, I love this episode. I'm guessing purists might not like the genre crossing, but I thought this was a great way to use the anthology format to play with unique characters to a Walking Dead storytelling. definitely becomes one of my all-time favorite episodes in the Walking Dead universe. Wow, you really liked it. A few thoughts. Blair's AstroTurf vest was hilarious.
Yes, same.
Both Parker Posey and Jillian Bell were fantastic with some over-the-top horrified looks, slap fight, screams, and acting in general. Yeah, that's right. There was that montage of them just fighting and dying over and over again, and then they were just suddenly bonded over the vending machine that they broke into. That was good. Pretty sure that it was a photo of Hasan Minhaj behind Gina's desk, one of the employee of the months or whatever. Love how they got more and more candid, honest, and actually humble by the time they got to the final iteration. Not sure I could have imagined a way to make Walking Dead funny, but this episode hit that ball out of the park. The singed hair on one side of their heads after the final truck explosion was one of those subtle things that made me LOL. See you in Oakland in November. Yeah, see you in Oakland, Fred.
Yeah, all right. That singed hair stuck with me as well. Made me cry for them.
I've singed the hair on my arm before with a lighter. Just for the hell of it.
Oh, I bet that smelled lovely.
Yeah, it smelled gross. All right. We got a few calls. One from Lucy. I'm so glad Lucy called in because she couldn't be on. But here we go.
Hi, it's Lucy here, a long-time listener, long-time podcaster, voting for episode 2 of Tales of the Walking Dead. I am shocked and appalled to say that I've actually enjoyed both episodes of the show so far, but I thought number 2 was particularly good. I don't know if it's calling out to my inner alternative theatre kid or arty English lit degree side, but yeah, I loved it. I thought Parker Posey and Jillian Bell knocked it out of the park. I loved the whole concept. I loved the way it was executed. I thought the surrealism was brilliant, and yeah, I was just pleased to watch it. So looking forward to seeing what happens next week when we get Alpha back to see a bit more of that backstory, but for now I'm actually enjoying the ride. Anyway, this is coming to you live from Italy, where Peter and I are on holiday at the moment. So I'm sorry to miss podcasting with you, Jay, but we will be back with you soon. And yes, we shall talk again, I'm sure. Take care, everyone. Don't get bit. And do come to San Francisco. I want to meet y'all.
That's cool.
I actually really like that Lucy liked an episode. Because when Fear the Walking Dead, I was like, I really hope she likes this one. I hope she likes it.
She never did.
Every time. No.
And I mean, I've said this maybe too many times recently, but Fear has sort of soured people on the idea that
I gave up for the last season. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. But I mean, people think because it's not good. And I know there's still people who like it, but mostly not that they think, oh, Walking Dead spinoff. But in my opinion, World Beyond season 2 was really good.
I love World Beyond. Yeah. So good.
And this is good too. I'm enjoying this show too. So it's just, you need good writers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here is the requested Steve Brown, hopefully live Steve.
Okay. Hi, Walking Dead cast. This is Steve. And this is for Blair/Gina. I wasn't going to live Steve it on my first watch because I wanted to watch it again. But gosh, it's so crazy. I'm going to start now. I'm 25 minutes in. But okay. This Groundhog Day zombie apocalypse is just terrific. I thought at first it kind of sucked, but now I'm like, no, this is exciting. Okay, so this time things changed. Gina got a tire, got a flat tire, and and now she's on the truck, and Blair's husband is yelling for her to get in the car. This is just crazy. Now Blair is on the hood and Gina is in the window. And now we're back. Now Parker Posey playing crazy. He's dead and he came back. Now we've changed everything again. But isn't the woman in the car with the dead guy still going to get eaten at some point? There's even a version where Gina Jillian Bell becomes a zombie and bites Parker Posey. Nice. How do you break the cycle? You don't know. This conversation on the floor of the bathroom is wonderful, but how do you break the cycle? Okay, I guess maybe that was it. Gina going and Blair staying at the insurance company. Wow, Blair is really revealing some stuff here with her husband, and you don't save me, you don't take 2 steps out of the car. Wow. Do you think the island will be safe? Well, that didn't work. So now the two of them are just them and Louising it in a gas tanker. Oh, they're going to try to kill the horde with the gas from the tanker. Okay.
Hey, this conversation about mental disorder between Parker Posey and Julian Bell, amazing.
All right. Talk to you later.
Love that.
That's good. Glad you liked it, Steve. All right, we have one more call. It's from Sydney, who used to call in a little bit, and so glad to hear from her. I think this is about last week's episode with Terry Crews and Olivia Munn.
Hey, guys, this is Sydney. I'm actually calling about last week's episode with Terry Crews. I was just listening to you guys discuss on the podcast, and you were saying how you weren't sure how the bunker lady with the lipstick became such a murderer. And I really think they did a good job of describing that process. She says that first she locked herself in her prepper bunker, and then all of the people came and like were banging on the door, and she wouldn't let them in, and she heard their screams as they died. I mean, that's traumatic. But then a guy got in, and he wasn't such a nice guy. So obviously he was like an attempted murderer, a rapist, and she killed him. And when she killed him, she was sufficiently crazy and started wanting to kill everybody else and had no trust for anybody. And she obviously didn't have a lot of trust going into it, like being a prepper with a handle of you should be scared. Just wanted to call and give my thought on that. It was important to me. But I also absolutely loved episode 2. Parker Posey had me on the edge of my seat. Her anxiety gave me anxiety. Look forward to hearing how you guys interpret all of that. All right, cool. Thanks. Bye.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right about that crazy character last week. I guess I just thought, why is she rubbing lipstick all over herself in a weird way and just playing with these people? And yeah, I could see her like needing to kill this guy who came in and tried to hurt her. But then, and yeah, you're right. She didn't. She already kind of didn't trust people, but it's still a bit of a jump to then turn into the guy from Silence of the Lambs.
I just sat entire that bit where she changed and put her makeup on her. She came out and I was like, how did you curl your hair that quickly? Like, what did you like? I think it's a clip on. I think that's what it is. But the entire time I was like, I wish I could curl my hair that quickly. That's quite impressive.
That's funny. I wish I could decurl mine sometimes. All right, that is our show, episode 476. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Cassie. That was really fun. Glad you wanted to come on.
Thanks for having me.
And that you liked it. If you guys want to write in and leave us a message, you can find our contact information, of course, at podcastica.com.
And while you're there, be sure to check out our other shows.
What are you watching? Anything else that we're covering?
Probably not that you're covering, but something called From that has...
We are covering that.
Are you?
Listen, yeah.
What? It's, okay. That's my workday sorted.
It's not in the house Podcastica feed. I should probably move it in there, but we have our own podcast called What Is From, and Alex and Lizzie did all the episodes, and now they're getting interviews with cast members.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. They had a contest for people to use crayons to color scenes. And they
I finished it now, but it's so good. So good.
Yeah, me too. I binged through it, and they actually didn't start doing the podcast until the show was over. So,
That's good. Yeah.
So anyway, but when season 2 comes around, then they'll, I assume, do episode by episode. But the big one, I mean, House of the Dragon started last night.
I saw it.
Rima and Kristen are covering that.
And I can't wait for Kristen to come back.
I know, right? And, of course, there's Sandman, there's She-Hulk, and Lock and Key. Those are the other shows we're doing right now. Next on this podcast, Tales of the Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 3, D, which was, of course, Alpha's name before she became Alpha. This episode's made possible by Patreon supporters like Michael Evans, who pledged their support at patreon.com/JasonCabassi. So thank you to Michael. Yeah, if you want to help support, that would be awesome. And you can get ad-free episodes, among other things. And last, I always want to keep mentioning until we get to the finale that if you want to join us to watch the finale, the final episode of The Walking Dead, and then hear our live podcast afterwards, you can find information on that at podcastica.com/TWD finale party. And right now, Rima's putting together an excursion to Alcatraz for people who want to do that during that weekend. So that should be a lot of fun. All right. That is our show.
Thanks for listening.
Don't get bit, Matthew Rimmer. Then put your